Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I feel like I come home every time I come to Concordia. Thank you so much. I'm going to take all those little things away from me, otherwise they'll go. Well, happy Father's Day, all you wonderful men and dads of God. And it's a special day that we celebrate the fatherhood of men, and it's part of life, isn't it? I notice that they're trying to take away the fatherhood of Father's Day and make it a special person's day. Well, it is a special person's day. It's Father's Day. So we shall keep it as Father's Day. When I was preparing this message, I found a little thing that I'll share with you this morning. I thought it was quite cute. It says about fathers, when you're 4 years old, you say, my daddy can do anything. 7 years old, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. 8 years, my father doesn't quite know everything. 12 years old, oh well, naturally father doesn't know everything. When they're 14, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. When you're 21 years old, oh, that man is out of date. What did you expect? When you're 25, he knows a little about it, but not much. When a man is 30 years, must find out what dad thinks about it. 35 years, a little patient, let's get dad's meaning first. 50 years, what would dad have thought about it? 60 years, my dad literally knew everything. 65 years, I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. And isn't that the truth about life? The progression that we have, but we do appreciate fathers because none of us would be here if we didn't have one. So it's a wonderful day, and there's a role models that fathers are supposed to be role models, but often fathers have not been present. Maybe your father might have been abusive or angry man or belittling, or maybe you never knew your father. And there's been a lack in our heart. You see, there's part of our heart that desires a father. And that's why the enemy is raging and roaring right now to take away fatherhood, to make it a genderless thing. But there is a part of us that longs for the Father, and it's our spirit within us. We heard Ben just speak that scripture. There's a heart part of us that cries out, Abba, Father. We have to know our Father. Even in the natural, when people have been fatherless, they always wonder what their father was like. And so it's a natural thing that God has put in our natural state and also in our spirit. And the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And that's what he's trying to do in this hour. We have a fatherless generation. There are multitudes of children that don't know their fathers, but maybe we have been very blessed to have had a father. And it was designed to be that way. Jesus said, the thief came to steal, but I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus came to restore us back to the Father. He did die for our sins, but there was also that second part where he was like that bridge where we were lost and Father was over there, and it became that bridge that we could come back to the Father, and he is restoring that in our lives. And so he wants us to have that same personal relationship with the Father that he had. And he said, I can do nothing. I say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. I do nothing. I can do nothing unless the Father does it in me. And I want to tell you today that you men are wonderful. You men are good men. You're found in the house of God, and God has got your number. God has got his eye upon you. God's thoughts are towards you. It says in the Bible that who can number the thoughts that he has to you? And so I just want to affirm you today that God loves you and knows that you are a good father. So what is Father God like? Moses, we remember in Exodus 33, he says, show me your glory. And That was a cry in Moses' heart, and God said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you've spoken for me, for you have found grace in my sight. Thank God we have all found grace in his sight. And I know you by name. That's the most wonderful thing, that God personally knows you by name. And then it says, I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll be merciful to those who I choose to be merciful to. I'm glad he found me and grace came upon my life. I'm glad he was merciful to me, and I'm sure you are too. So he says, but you can't see my face. So the very next chapter, God says he's going to proclaim my name, his name. And he says in verse 5 of Exodus 34, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. I love that bit. God came and stood with him. God is the same today, yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. So he comes and he stands with us. In fact, he walks before us. I like to think that God is walking, or Jesus is walking before me, and I just follow in his wake. And I find goodness and mercy following me behind me because I'm walking behind him. And so he came and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The name always decrees the nature. Jesus was salvation. Whenever we see a name, particularly in the Old Testament, it decreed the nature of the man. Jacob was a deceiver. That's what his name meant. So this is what the Lord says. I proclaim my name, and it says, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon the children and the grandchildren. In fact, the entire family is affected. This is the New Living Translation. Even children to the third and fourth generations. And we see that also. We see sometimes a generational line where there's been addictions or things that have been outside God, and it's come down generational curses. But that's only to the third and fourth generations, but his blessing is to 1,000 generations. Aren't you glad you're under the covering of God and that his blessing comes down to our children? I went to an event yesterday, a 50th wedding anniversary of some dear friends, and had a lovely speech, and then the daughter got up and she said, I'm so glad my mum and dad came to the Lord. I was only 6 or 7, and I've never known, can't remember life without being in God. And then she had 3 children, and they are all been brought up in the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be brought up in the house of the Lord and to see the generational blessings that come down upon our children. And so today you might be feeling a bit down, or just had felt you were ignored by the Father, or whatever happened to you in your life. But God said there will be a retribution for those who have harmed you. So if you have had anything that has been done to you and you've struggled with it for many, many years, God says, come to him today as a father and leave the results for him. God comes down and stands with us. You know, one day Jesus was walking with his disciples, and they said, they made a statement, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Strange. So Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. We're just seeing you. We haven't seen the Father. And Jesus replied and said, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still do not know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you can relate to Jesus, if you have no trouble in relating to him as the lover of your soul, as your salvation, as your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the express image of the Father. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Why are you asking me to show him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me. does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Can you believe that this morning? That the Father lives in Jesus. And when you invited Jesus into your life, you got the package deal. Jesus and the Father are one. They both came into your life. The Holy Spirit came and quickened your dead spirit and made you alive. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him and it dwells within you. It's a mystery. We can't understand it, but we believe it by faith. I tell you a truth. He who believes in me will do the same works that I do, but even greater works. Well, I have not yet seen the dead raised, but I have seen people come out of wheelchairs. I have seen amazing things happen, miracles before your eyes. The fact that we're breathing is a miracle every morning when you get to my age. But I've seen amazing things, people healed from AIDS and whatever. How do we do the greater works? Because there's more of us than one Jesus walking the earth. If every one of us stepped into the place and the anointing that God has given us, we would see more and more miracles throughout the earth. The miracle is happening in the Middle East where multitudes of Muslims are coming to know Jesus. That's a miracle when you see the stifling of their religious restrictions that they've been given them. He said, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name. Well, I've got a really good news story because I asked the Father in Jesus' name to bring a beautiful husband for my daughter. She's been a missionary and I could never bear the thought of her. I couldn't die happy until I knew she was sorted and settled. And God brought this beautiful man into her life. I always ask the Lord, I want someone to cherish her. And she used to go, oh, I hate that word, Mum, cherish her. I always talk about this, cherish. Treasure, like to treasure, to just look after and uphold. And God has bought this man, and she even said to me the other day, I think he'll treasure me, Mum. I go, oh, and cherish her. So that's the answer to my prayer, and I am more than happy Mama, Mama Bear. But what amazing scripture. We don't have because we don't ask. And we just have to keep on asking and keep on knocking, and he will do what we ask him to do. So if you are in Christ this morning, you have that ability to ask the Father. All the attributes that are in the nature of God came into us, and we have that mercy and grace. Jesus spoke constantly about his Father. He said it was the Father that did the works, that spoke through him. He did nothing. In fact, he says, my Father, 53 times. Now, that's a lot of scripture, just in the Gospels. And then he talked about our Father, 21 times. And shows that from the my Father to our Father, he clearly shows us that those who believe in Jesus can share the same relationship that he had with God in heaven. And then it even gets better than that, and he calls it your Father 21 times also. He wants us to know the Father, and because he lives in us, we can have that same communion. So if there's a longing in your heart, you don't have to feel distant from the Father. If you can relate to Jesus, you know the Father too. So through experience, we can relate to him. I want to tell you today, and that's when I get to my message of being adopted by a Father. We heard Ben say that we have been given the spirit of adoption. The God of heaven and the universe came down and chose you to be his child. He chose you. And so when I say sons of adoption, I mean male and female. So it says in Ephesians 1:3, in the New Living Translation, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Are you blessed this morning? You are blessed. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ Jesus to be holy and without fault or without blame in his eyes. God decided or predestinated in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out upon us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. What an amazing passage that encapsulates the nature of the Father. He chose you. You see, he never wanted an only child. He had one only begotten son. But Hebrews tells us that he was just the firstborn of many, and he wants to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Why? Because it was his kindness and his pleasure to do so. He determined, he marked out beforehand, he chose before the foundation of the world. You were there. You were in his heart. He saw you. He had you in his very being. And then at a certain time, at a certain fullness of days, we were birthed into this earth. But you were always there. He chose you and predetermined you. And so it all started with Adam. He always wanted children upon the earth. So he brought forth Adam and Eve. They walked beautifully in the cool of the garden and had fellowship with their father. But sin came in. The relationship was broken. But that wasn't the end of the story. God had, in Genesis, he had plan B. And he knew that he would bring forth a new breed of children. And it would be through his glorious son, Jesus Christ. So we have been bought and adopted into the family of God. We received the spirit of adoption when we invited Christ in. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we've received that spirit within us. So he calls us friends. Jesus said, I don't want to call you servants. I now call you friends. Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. And God wants us to be his best friend. I want the Holy Spirit to be my very best friend. I want to know him intimately all day, every day, walking in the Spirit. He says, you have not chosen me, but I chose you. You see, we were walking along in life, wondering, well, maybe there is a God. That was my thing. I knew God was out there. Somebody told me God was there, but I did not know him. But one glorious day, I felt the choosing of the Lord. He set me up. He predestinated me to be his child. And I went there and I heard the good news and I became a mad thing. I wanted to know everything about him. I did not sleep on a Sunday night for 2 years when I started going to church. I would come home and my husband would be watching whatever movie and I'd go, you should have been at church tonight. He'd go, yeah, right over. flicking the TV. But I would get my Bible out and I would read it and I would, everything inside me, you know, it says it's, you were quickened. I was quickened, all right. I had this brrr inside of me and the word was alive. It was exciting and I'd be going, wow, I never knew that. I might tell you I was smoking a cigarette at the time I was doing that. Thank God he delivered me. I would have been dead from lung cancer. But he loves us as children. And so he chose me. I can never get over that he chose me. Out of all the people in the world, he chose you to be sitting here today, hearing and meditating. Yes, I've been adopted by choice. I had some friends who went to China to, they'd been waiting for a child and they put their names down for international adoption and they went over to China and they had a great big room full of children. And they said, you can choose. How do you choose a baby? But there's something in them. My friend said, she said, I saw this little girl and my heart just leapt and I knew she was mine. Maybe God had that same feeling when he chose you. Out of all the people of the earth, I'm going to choose this one and my heart's going to leap and I'm going to make her mine. I'm going to make him mine because I chose you. We don't get choice of natural parents, but in this family of God, we are chosen by him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so that he brought us forth, he chose it that we might be ordained and bring forth fruit. And again, after that, he says, you can ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Maybe God wants to emphasize that today. Keep on asking and God will give it to us. A good father will give us what we ask for, and we have been chosen to be his friend. So that's what happens when we come into the family of God. We are chosen to come in. The second thing that happens for an adopted child is given a new name. It takes on the family name, takes on the father's name, and he will give us a new name. He's given us a new name. In Isaiah 62, it says, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And Isaiah 65 says, and his servant shall be called by another name. What's our other name? The Christian. One that follows Christ. I am a follower of Christ. That's a new name. That is one of the names that God gives us, that we can be a follower of Christ. And I love this one in Revelations 14:1. And I looked. Are you looking in with God's eyes? You're looking into the spiritual realm. And lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And these are those which follow the lamb whithersoever he goes. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the lamb. We are following the lamb. He has gone before us. He's gone to the cross. He's come out the other side. He's gone into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father in power and glory, and we are followers of him. And I, for one, have chosen to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If he wants me to go anywhere, I say, here I am, go. But he also doesn't want us to stagnate in this, in a sense of spiritual sense where we just settle for, oh, well, I just go to church on a Sunday. Yeah, I'm doing fine. There is so much more that God has got for us. I've been walking with the Lord for nearly 40 years and I still don't even feel I've even touched the surface of what I want to know and what I have that God has got for me. There's so much more, and we can follow the Lamb, but we have his name written in their forehead. There's a big difference between on and in. So the in the forehead is the new mind, the renewed mind of Christ. We have to put on daily, I put on daily the mind of Christ. So what was the mind of Christ like? Paul tells us, Philippians, he says, think if we think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report and virtue and praise, think on these things. And we put on the mind of Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a little train that comes roaring in, negative thoughts for certain things or certain whatever is going on. And you can let them either sit there or we do something. I don't want to think those thoughts. I tell those thoughts, I tell myself, you shut up. Shut up, I am not listening to you. And I will turn my music on and I will think on things that are good and lovely and worthy of praise and of good report. That's how we renew our mind. So easy to let those things settle and dwell upon us, and it robs us. So the other thing that I have chosen in my life, when I went through a battle of offence, and I'll just throw this one in, offence will rob you. Offence comes into this little brain, and you can give and you can forgive, you know, you forgive and you release and you bless, and then choo-choo, in it comes again. Every time I get that thought, I say, I choose to live an unoffendable life. Jesus caused offence to the lawgivers. But when they were offended when he went to Nazareth, he could not do any miracles because of their unbelief and they were offended. And that will happen in our lives too if we allow offence to lodge in our heart. It is a battle. So I refuse to take those things on and release them in forgiveness. So where is your mind? Touch today, where is your mind? Up there? Up there? No, that's your brain. The minds are the attitudes of our heart. It's in our emotions and it's in our thought life, but it's not in our brain. It's within our heart. And so we have to have a new heart. And so we are come by adoption by choice. We're given a new name. And they also, a child is taken into a new environment. My friends took this little child out of China and brought her home to Australia, and she has grown up and she's a little Aussie now, and they take her back occasionally to China so she can find roots and eat Peking duck. But she was given a brand new environment, and that is the same as what happens to us. We are not of this world. Where have we been born from? Where did we come from? We were born from above, the Bible tells us. And we have been taken out of this old realm and we've been taken into a whole new realm and a whole new environment. And Colossians sums it up this way, about Jesus, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's a wonderful change of environment, from darkness to light. And so we can be no longer, because we're in the kingdom of his dear Son, we are no longer under the dominion of sin and guilt and fear, but we have a brand new environment of love, joy and peace found in the Holy Ghost. Amen? So the kingdom of God is in you, and we can be seated in heavenly places. That's a good environment to be living in, I'd say. Far better than the dark one. And so we are encouraged to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and let the kingdom of God rule in your hearts and in your life. If God is not ruling in our hearts, something else is. If God is not ruling in our hearts, someone else is, and it's the old man. We can either walk in the old man or put on the new man, Christ Jesus, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. We're encouraged, take off and put on constantly. We've got to keep putting on the robes of righteousness, keep putting on this new man. So the world is not conducive to our spiritual growth. Have you found that? If we're living in the flesh, we are not growing very well, but we have to stay in the Spirit. And so who ruled Jesus' life? As we've heard today, the Father. He did nothing. He was under total dominion of the Father, and he walked sinless. And so the only time he was apart from the Father is when he hung on that cross, and the weight of putrid, revolting sin of mankind was hurled upon him, and he hung there, and God even turned his face away. And he said, Father, Father, why have you? All man, everyone had forsaken him, but now his Father that he had walked with and was in constant communion with, he was alone, alone on that cross, and even his Father had forsaken him. And that was the only time that Jesus came out of the dominion and the rule of his Father. But he counted it as joy, so now we can. He purchased a new environment for us. The Father and Jesus working through you and in you, and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep you, gives you the power to stop sinning, to live a wonderful new life in a new environment, and we can flourish. We have to have the right environment. A plant has to have the right environment to flourish. It has to have soil, and has to have nutrients, and has to have water, and has to have sunlight. We need sunlight in our lives. We need to be walking in the light, and we will grow and grow. It's just a natural phenomenon. So we need to stay connected with God. My darling daughter, the one that's just got engaged, and she's getting married in November, and I'm all excited. we've been very busy. We've been organising a lot of things. And so I hadn't had time to spend that time with the Lord. I was talking to the Lord on the run. But, you know, that's okay. We all do that. I put on music. My focus is upon him and I talk to him and I speak in tongues as I drive along. But I felt disconnected and I thought, I just can't get out of bed today. I've got to just stay and get back to the Father. And I felt like pretty dead, you know, like he was out there and I was here and there was a big gap between us. And I have discovered I really am African on the inside. I've got white skin, but I'm really dark skin on the inside because I love Kenya and Rwanda, my favourite countries. And so I found this wonderful Nigerian man who sings, oh my gosh, he just sings and plays the trumpet, and I've discovered him on YouTube, and I just get my little Nathaniel Bassey going, and he starts singing, "We give you all the glory and all the praise." We've got to sing that one again. Oh, what a song. And he plays this trumpet and the tears started to flow and I went, oh God, you're still here. You are just, the presence of God just flooded in. We only have to lean into him and he'll come. You know, he said, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. That's the way it happens. We have to draw near to him and then he'll draw near to us. And I felt that connection back with the Father again. I, for one, can't live without him. I'm only half living if I'm not in right relationship with my Father. So we are taken by choice. We're given a new name. We're placed in a new environment. And number four, we can inherit all that the Father has. Is that good news? He made us, as we heard Ben say today, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So Jesus inherited everything. The Father gave him everything. So we in Christ are joint heirs with him. We are adopted. He takes a stranger and adopted. A stranger of a child can be adopted into the family and they can receive the same inheritance as the natural born children because they've got the name. They have got legal rights. And so Paul knew this truth. In fact, Paul was the only one in the whole of the New Testament that understood this adoption, the spirit of adoption that was in us, that was in God's heart. And so he had been under the law. He was in the family of law. And then he came out from under that. And through faith, he became a son of God. He was adopted into the family of God. And so if children, we will read it once again, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I like that part, but I don't like this part. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified. We don't like the suffering part, but I like the glorified bit. But I don't know, every time I go through something, I know it's going to be for my good because my Father is a good Father and he will work all things together for good. And sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we do go through tremendous valleys. But that valley of Baca is only going through. And we can make it a well, we can make it a spring that will spring us into the next step that God has for us. And so as heirs, what do we inherit? Matthew 19:29 says, you shall inherit everlasting life. Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. Hebrews 6:12, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I love the word of God. Every word in this book is a promise to you. And if we can take it by faith, we inherit the promises that he has told us we can have. But we have to take it. Unless we receive it and take hold of it and bring it into our lives, it's just words in a book. But we can make it life to us. You can inherit, and that's part of your great inheritance in God. You can inherit all the promises that he has. Take hold of it. He says, come to me if you're weary and I will give you rest. That's a great promise. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Every promise that he has given, we can make our own. Acts 22 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. Are you sanctified this morning? Yes, you are. You have been washed. You have been justified. You have been sanctified. You've been made right standing with God. Not by what you did, nothing that you did, only what he did. And we are now the sanctified ones, being made holy. Perhaps we're not as holy as we are going to be, but we are on the journey of sanctification. Hallelujah. And that is his promise. His word will build you up. Ephesians 1:11, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. All things. Does that mean that thing that nothing's happening? He's working it. All things. What we see in the earth, all things. This plebiscite that we're having, God's working it. All things to the counsel of his will. Everything. Nothing is estranged from him. He is working through it all. Even the Holy Ghost is part of our inheritance. It says, talking of in the same chapter of Ephesians 1:13, it says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved us, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. That's what we sang. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you. Everything God does in your life is for a purpose. What purpose it is? That we might praise and glorify him. Don't negate the power of worship. God is seeking. The Father seeks those who will worship him. In this hour, he is going to and fro seeking those whom he is, who will worship him. God is a seeking God. He sought out us. He sought out that lamb that was bleeding and he picked him up and carried it back. And that's what he did for us. He sought us out. And so the Holy Spirit is the seal that you have. You've only got the first fruits or the down payment of the amazing things that God has got for you through the power of his Holy Spirit. So get to know him. The Spirit of God is moving in your life. Sometimes we don't even know it's moving. We just think, oh, well, I'm just doing life. And then if we are in God, sometimes you just say something randomly or you're just going through life and you're not even aware that you are in the Spirit. You're not purposely or intentionally doing things. And then someone will come up and go, when you said that the other day, it so encouraged me. It blew me away because I'd been asking God to that and you just said this. And you think, wow, how clever is God? Just be the conduit that the Holy Spirit can flow through. So the other part of the inheritance that we have, and I love this part, Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He can give you light. And that light comes when you say something you didn't even know you were saying, that you were so wise and you didn't even know you were that wise. It's not even you, it's him. It's the Spirit of wisdom flowing through you. I love the workings of God. I know when I first began to minister, I would be astounded because the first time I prayed for someone and they got slain in the Spirit, I went, wow! I must be getting holy or something. Nothing to do with us. God does whatever he wants to do. But there is such a reward for you, an inheritance that will never fade away. Peter says it this time, we have come to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We can put money in the bank And that's going to be our inheritance or my children's inheritance, but there's inflation and then there's deflation, or the prices go up or the prices go down. You could end up with nothing. But we have an inheritance reserved in heaven for us that's never going to be devalued. It's never going to fade away. It's always going to be there in the fullness of what God has intended for you. So don't be weary in well-doing, because there is a reward for everything that you do. There is a reward in heaven laid up for you. So be not weary in well-doing. So just go about doing good, just like Jesus. That's a good thing to be working towards. Just like Jesus, I went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed from the devil, because God was with him. That's how he did it. God was with him. And if the same God was with Jesus, he's with you, and you can go about doing good. And that inheritance that you have for everything, those hidden things, you might not, nobody might know what you are doing, but God sees it. He sees everything, good works that we do, and there is a reward in heaven for you. And so we have crowns waiting for us, crowns of life, crowns of glory, overcoming crowns. Everything in the fullness of heaven is laid up for us. It'll be a grand day when we get there, won't it? So number five, you have been chosen, you have been given a new name, you've been given a new environment to live in, you've been given eternal inheritance, and now you have a legal right to, as the spirit of adoption, to have everything that as a child of promise. Galatians 4 says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the spirit of adoption. Isaac was the child of promise. It had been promised to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son, and and the promise came about. But they took things into their own hands and produced Ishmael, and we know all that story. But Abraham had many children after Isaac. It said, and in Genesis it says, Abraham gave good gifts to the sons of his concubines, but he gave all that he had to Isaac. And that's what the Father will give us. We are part of the Son of promise. It said, Galatians, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He didn't say to seeds, plural, but he said as to one seed, which is Christ. And so now we can be heirs with Christ. Abraham was promised that he would be an heir of the world. That's a pretty big inheritance. And it wasn't because he inherited the earth in his geographical place, but it was out of the seed that would come through, and it was going to come through faith, the righteousness of faith. And so that legally gives us that through Christ we can be heirs to everything that God has got for us. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The concubines didn't get all. Ishmael didn't get all. Isaac, the son of promise, the one born of faith. And we are part of that inheritance. Jesus came to give us good news. And part of that good news, that God wasn't a far off one. We were the promised children. He wanted children to come to know him as Father. When Jesus had resurrected, and he goes, and Mary is waiting in the garden, and he reveals himself, he says to her, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to your brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. You see, that was an unknown concept in those times, that God was so holy they didn't even mention his name. But now Jesus comes with a whole new concept, that it's not just I'm talking to my Father, but he is your Father. He introduces them as, you have a Father in heaven with the same communication that I have. And so that is inclusivity to the max. It's a current popular word, isn't it? Inclusivity. But he was our Father, and now we can go back into the presence of God, and you can come too. He knew who his Father was and commissioned to do all that the Father's will. And he wasn't recognized until he was 30. We need to have that recognition by God. I know my husband he struggled a lot in his emotions because his father had rejected him when he was two. He'd left him and things had happened. And there was always a gaping wound in his soul. He was very gifted in the things of God. He was very visionary. He loved God. But he always struggled with this father relationship. And it went on for years. He had ministry, but always that little default would always come back, this gaping wound. And he talked about it, and I say, don't talk about it. You know, I would encourage him along the way, but it was there. And then one glorious day, he was in his little lounge room where he used to pray in the morning, and he heard the audible voice of God. He must have been complaining about this lack of father again. And God said, I know all that, Mike. But don't you know that I loved you more than your father could have ever loved you? And it changed his life. It healed his soul. Just the affirming of a father. And Jesus, when you think about it, he walked sinless for all those years. He knew at 12 he was to be about his father's business. He had went into obscurity for 18 years. We don't hear a thing about him. But he walked in obscurity, maturing to be a son. And at the age of 30, he's down by the river and John the Baptist is baptizing and he sees him walking. He could have said, oh, here's my cousin coming down. No, by revelation he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, the sinless one, didn't have to be baptized, but he did it as an example for us. And how marvellous, through obedience, he goes down under those waters and he comes up and the dove, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, comes down to rest upon him. And the voice of the Father comes and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And out of that affirmation from the Father, Jesus went out in the power of the Spirit, 40 days in the wilderness and came out, and his ministry started 3.5 years and he turned the world upside down. But that, and sometimes we need to be affirmed. Maybe if you as a father have found it difficult to affirm your children, maybe today's a good day just to say, you are my child. I'm so pleased with you. I'm so proud of you. Something happens when we get affirmation. God the Father did that twice to Jesus. Once to start his ministry and once at the end. When he goes up just before the crucifixion, he goes up on the mount and he's transfigured and everything is changed into the glorious realm of the Spirit. And Peter says, oh, we'll make you a little temple up here. A voice comes out yet again and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. He was showing forth the Father's heart to a world that knew him not. And he's still doing it and wants to do that in his church. This is my beloved Son. And it was the start of his ministry, and at the end, he was well pleased. So I want to tell you, men, that you are much loved, that you are affirmed by God, that you are accepted in the beloved. And he wants us to be a mature company of people, sons and daughters. I'll finish with this, he says. God is not wanting us to stay as babes on milk. Children can be rebellious, teenagers. God wants us to be a mature company of sons and daughters. He's not going to give his kingdom to babies or children. Galatians says, as an heir, as long as he's a child, differs nothing more than from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And that is what is about us too. We can say we're sons, but if we're in that childish realm, we are still no better than a servant, but he wants us to come into maturity. So there's an appointed time for us to grow. Paul sums it this way. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I did things as a child, but now I am a man, I speak as a man, I'm going to think as a man. That's where God wants us to be, into that place of maturity. How do we get there? We keep staying in the environment. We keep taking the word of God. We keep growing in the things of the Spirit. And he can give us victory over everything that would assail us. He has given us the power of the Holy Ghost in us. In 2 Corinthians it says, I will receive you and will be a father to you. He's promised that he will be a father to you. If you didn't have a father, he will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Done deal, you're it. And the last scripture I'll read is 1 John 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What manner of love? That he sent his son to die. That's the greatest love gift God could give us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows not because it did not know him. Beloved, now you are the sons of God, but we don't know how we're going to appear. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I love that scripture. We don't really know what it's going to be like. We can have our own eschatology and have it all planned out. We don't really know how, when, what, or anything. But we know that when he appears, we shall be changed and we shall be like him. We shall be compatible with him. He will be the big brother and we will be sisters and brothers to him. He will be the king and we will be part of that ruling and reigning with him. It's time for the restoration of the church to come back and know that he is Father, that restored relationship that will come out. He's the Father of lights. There's no shadow or turning in him. He made the lights of heaven. And when he comes into us, we come into the transparency and the fullness of the light of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ, we see him, Father of all. Father of all. So I pray this morning, as you've got to go and have whatever you're doing with your families, that the Father will be so real to you, that you look to him and have that Spirit crying within you, Father, Father, I thank you that I have been adopted into your family, that you chose me, that you gave me your name, that you took me out of darkness and brought me into a new environment of light. You took me out of Adam and you put me into Christ. That's a great change of environment. And now I can be joint heirs with Christ and have a communication and a communion with the Father of heaven and earth. And he wants to know you and wants you to know him as Father. And you can come to glorify his name. I'm wondering if we could just sing that song, that beautiful Alpha and Omega. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You were with him at the beginning. You were with him at the end. He's the Alpha of your start of your Christianity, and he's the Omega. He will be with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Get out of this orphan mentality that we have. We have a Father that is always with us. Just got to tap in by faith. It's all by faith. Abraham became a friend of God because he became the faith father. And we have that same spirit within us. Amen. So let's just stand and sing. He's worthy. He wants you to be glorified. He wants you to magnify his name. He wants you to know him as the Father of all. If you struggle today with a father figure, or you would like prayer, I'm only too pleased to be able to pray with you. If you need a touch from God today, if you've struggled to know him as Father, let's break the shackles, let's break the mentality and come into the fullness of what he's got for us. There to be praised.